So, good morning.
Good morning.
Today the text is, for me, is 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's the English Standard Version there. Peter is writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, were scattered basically throughout the Turkey area, I guess. They're the people who are elect by the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for sprinkling of blood and obedience to Jesus Christ. And he reminds them that they have a living hope. They've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for them who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And he reminds them that even though they're suffering persecution, these are the Christians who are suffering persecution under the Emperor Nero, who was a pretty awful man, that those trials only serve to strengthen their faith. That in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, in this you rejoice, so now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the testing of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may result to praise, honor, and glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And also he reminds them, just in case they feel like they've been forgotten by God, that everything leading up to this point, all the prophets, the angels, the people who preached the word of God to them, has all been for their sakes. So in light of that, Peter gives the believer five commands to order his life. And I really need to pray right now. Lord God, this is your word. And all I've got to bring to it is my wicked heart, my pride. And I need you. Amen. The first command that Peter gives the believer to order his life is to be ready. Where do I get that? Chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. The actual words there are to gird up the loins of your mind. And I think most of us are familiar with that picture. But in the ancient times, they would wear robes. And if they wanted to move around unencumbered, when they're going to war, when they want to run, whatever, they would have to gather up the size of their robes and tie them up so that they could move. And that's really the point. They got to get ready for action. And what do they got to get ready for action? They got to get their minds ready for action. Now, what action does your mind do? It does one thing. It thinks. So how do you get your mind ready to think, unencumbered? You have to fill it with knowledge. And what knowledge? The Word of God. I was reading a book on education just recently, and it talked about how children are basically sponges, and that they soak up everything. But it made the point that when you squeeze an empty sponge, nothing comes out. And you have to fill your mind with something so that something can come out, so that you are ready to think. And that thing, in this context, is the Word of God, is the knowledge of the Holy. You have to be ready to think. The first command Peter gives the believer to order his life is to be ready. The second command that Peter gives the believer to order his life is to be sober. Where do I get that? Chapter 1, verse 13, be sober. Be sober-minded in this translation. Now, what does it mean to be sober? I think a simple definition is to behave with the consequences of your actions in mind. Now think about that. What's the opposite of being sober? Be drunk. And what's a drunk person like? They do whatever's in their heart. They say something, they say whatever, and the next day, all they have to do is regret it. Because they said whatever was in their heart with no regard for the consequences of what they were saying. And that's, in this context, it's more than just being drunk that he's going after, that being sober-minded. It's behaving with the consequences of your actions. And we see that everywhere, all over the world. We see a world who is going to pursue what they want, their lusts, their desires, their pride, whatever it is. They do not care what the end result is. They want that thing. And that's exactly how we used to live. And even now, we do that. We sit in church, we hear the word of God, we don't apply it to our life, and we don't think that when we hear the word and it has no effect on our life, it is hardening our hearts. It's, we fall prey, even we fall prey to our lust because we forget that the judge of all things is watching us and there are consequences. We think that this little sin doesn't matter. This little negligence, it won't affect me. I'm saved. I've got it. The ultimate thing. But there are consequences for our actions, and we need to behave with the consequences of our actions in mind. And Peter actually gives us a couple reasons for that. Chapter 4, verse 7, be sober-minded because the end is near. And chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This is really the point, John. In chapter 4, verse 3, the time passed. It suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatries. All these things they love, and they don't care what the consequences, what the end of them are. They want them, they love them. And they think we're nuts. They're surprised at you that you don't join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And that is the ultimate consequence of all our actions, is we are going to give an account. We know it, and we have to be sober. How do we be sober? We have to daily shepherd our hearts with the Word of God. And we do that by filling our minds with the Word of God. And it goes more than just our own hearts. We have to shepherd our families. We have to shepherd our ministries. Because we have to be sober-minded about the consequences of their actions, too. And we have to call them to an understanding of what the consequences of our actions are, what their actions are. So the first command that Peter gives the believer is to be ready. The second command is to be sober. The third command that Peter gives the believer to order his life is to be anchored. Where do I get that? Chapter 1, verse 13 again. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I got that picture, be anchored, from Hebrews 6, which says, hope is the anchor of the soul. And the picture here is rest your hope fully. That word fully, it gives a sense of finality. This is the last resting place of your hope. You're taking your hope and you're putting it somewhere for good. That somewhere is on the grace that is to be brought to you. It's no longer that dying hope that we have. All those hopes of graduating from college, of getting a job, getting married, having kids, some accomplishment in this life, some honor or achievement that we're going to receive, that we're going to earn. All those things come, and when they come, our hope goes on to the next thing. This is a living hope. It's good. It's forever. And, that's what I mean to be anchored. We set our hope finally on this one hope, and we don't change. We don't waver. We don't have, like the fool, our eyes on the ends of the earth. We have our hope on the grace that will be brought to us And that grace, I had a pastor at one time who used to define grace as the ability to do the will of God. I'm just giving you that as an extra. You can think about that. But what is that grace that's going to be brought to us? It's ultimately our salvation. Chapter 1, verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is not a hope of grace. It's not something within us. There's a pastor who's somewhat popular, who I haven't listened to much of what he says, but he likes to talk about achieving your full potential. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I can tell you, I know my potential. I've seen it. I don't want to achieve it. Mm-hmm. I want the grace that is going to be brought to me by Jesus Christ, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the ability to finally do the will of God. There's no hope in my potential. Mm. How are we going to set our hope on the grace that's going to be brought to us? We have to daily drag ourselves, our carcasses, to the cross of Christ and remember what he did for us. That's where our salvation comes from. That's where our hope comes from. We have to do that by shepherding our hearts to always come to the cross. And we have to shepherd our hearts by filling our minds with the Word of God. So the first command that Peter gives to the believer is to be ready. The second command is to be sober. The third command is to be anchored. The fourth command that Peter gives to the believer is to be pure. Chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Now, we've heard in this class that word conform needs to be squeezed into the mold of. And our lives were squeezed into the mold of our lust when we were unbelievers. We lived for the weekend. We lived for whatever riotousness we could accomplish. We lived for whatever achievements that would go to our own pride. All the things that we wanted, we conformed our lives to so that we could get them. And Peter says, no longer do that. You're not that person anymore. Well, I want to take you to James really quick. James chapter 1. Where does lust come from? It says, let no one say when he's being tempted, I'm being tempted by God. That's 1 verse 13. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted, when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's our lust. It comes from us. And that's the mold we were squeezed into. So how do we fight that? Skip down to verse 22. He contrasts that with every good thing comes from God. So, verse 22, verse 21. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and all rampant wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's the answer to lust. We have to receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. But he goes farther than that. He says, prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And that's my application for this. We have to fight. We can't just be content to sit here and hear the word of God and say, you know, I feel guilty about my life. You know, I could do better. I've met God halfway today. Now on to the rest of the week. That ain't it. We have to take the word and we have to apply it to our lives. We have to fight. Because that's not the gospel, to do that, to hear the word, to not apply it. That is not the gospel. that's like reading a treasure map and saying, the treasure's over in the next field. Great, know where to get it whenever I want it. That's not it. We have to fight by bringing ourselves to the cross of Christ every day, by shepherding our hearts to the cross, by filling our minds with the Word of God and applying that to our lives. We cannot settle in to apathy. So the first command that Peter gives the believer is to be ready. The second command is to be sober. The third command is to be anchored. Fourth command is to be pure. And the fifth command that Peter gives to the believer to order his life is to be holy. Chapter 1, verse 15, 1 Peter. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Man, this sums up the entire passage. Be holy. What does holiness mean? It means to be set apart. Right? The world, all of our lusts and everything in us, the devil, they all call us to live for the present, for whatever we want. You know, relax your mind tonight. Enjoy in some entertainment. Forget about the consequences of what you're doing. You know, it's a small thing. It's not going to... You're saved. You're good to go. You know, God's got your sanctification. You just enjoy life. Or, you know, this is who you are. You know, your lust. You know, forget about consequences. No. We need to wake up and we need to be holy. We need to be obedient children. We have to set ourselves apart from all those things that we were called out of. But there's another side to holiness, and I think this gets missed a lot, in at least in my conversation, and that is we need to be set apart from the world, but we need to be set apart unto God. Romans 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. We need to take our lives, and we've taken them out of the world, our lusts, our passions, lazy thinking, and we need to put them into the cause of Christ, into the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? Well, we have to be pure, right? If we're trying to preach the gospel and we're living a filthy life, we're just hypocrites. We have to be anchored in our hope, because that's what the gospel is. It brings us hope. It is our hope. We have to be sober. We have to know what the consequences of our actions are, and choose things that are going to result in salvation. And we have to be filling our minds with the Word of God. We have to be ready. And if you do that, you will be holy. Those commands, they sum it all up. Be holy. And look at this. When we first sinned, what was the lie that was told to us? Satan said to Eve, eat the fruit and you will be like God. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to be like God. And look where it got us. But God, when he saved us, said, you will be like me. Not in knowledge, but in nature. Be holy, or I am holy. And when we obey those five commands, we become partakers of the divine nature. That's all I got.